of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altonio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
I don't want to use for a title or tag or thought this morning, the warfare of worship. But he began to pray. Verse 12 says, and he said, "Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against the great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Look at Jehoshaphat's prayer. This is powerful because he said, look, he said, God, I need you to judge in this matter. Because we just can't fight with so many. I mean, if it was one, we might be able to handle the one. But look like all of them has turned against us. And we don't have enough strength. If we fight one on one side, there's another behind us and another on the other side. And so we don't have the ability to fight all of these that come up against us. He said, but we don't even know, not only do we not know how to fight them, he said, but we don't know what to do in this situation. Have you ever been in a place in your life that you say, I don't know what to do? I just don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to say, what to do, how to react. I'm just here, God, and I need you. Now, let me make mention here that when these enemies came up against Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah and Jerusalem, they had to come through Israel. Isn't it something how sometimes your family, your brother, your church member, how they'll let people come across them and to get to you? When we supposed to defend one another, we supposed to stick up for one another. I wish I had, y'all ain't got to say amen, but it's okay. Isn't it amazing how we all say that we are born again believers and then we'll let some heathen talk about our brother and sister in Christ? Isn't that something? That's exactly what happened here. That one of the enemies had to come across the land of Israel just to get to Judah. Isn't that something? But here it is, Jehoshaphat, he says, let's not bore you too long. He says that we don't have enough might and we don't know what to do, but what we're doing, we're going to look to you. When you have trouble in your life, we must look to God. The Bible says to us that we ought to lift our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, because our help comes from the Lord. Anybody with me here? Yeah, our help comes from the Lord. Amen. And so when we look at war, when we look at this, we have to understand verse 12, 13. When we get to it, when we look at this, we have to understand that war is going to come. Even though we have peace, the threat of war, the threat of a struggle, the threat of a fight is going to happen. Now, here's my acronym for war: worry, affliction, and rebellion. That's what happens when we go to war. We start to worry about the affliction, because there's some rebellion going on. Because if we were doing what God wants us to do, if the enemy was doing what God wants them to do and have peace with all men like he should, then we wouldn't have to worry. Amen. But that's what happens when you go to war, because you don't know the outcome. And they said to God, God, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to look to you. But when we look at verse 13 through 17 in the outline here that I made, that when we look at it, we got to have the word in time of war. Y'all still with me here? I wonder if I'm in the right church this morning. Verse 13 says, and Jehoshaphat stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. And notice what he did. He said that we all gonna go and worship. Ain't nobody staying home. Ain't nobody gonna let this hour pass them without giving God some type of praise. Look at this. He said, they all stood. And in verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeriel, and the son of Mathaniah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, came the spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. When we come together, didn't he say with two or three that come together that he'll be God in the midst? Do I have any witnesses here? We have to come together. Once we come together, and guess what? We come together in worship, then the Spirit of God begins to move. The Spirit of God begins to speak, and the Spirit finally fell on somebody in the choir because he was a child, a son of Asaph, of the descendants of Asaph. And so he came up and he gave a word according to verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem." In other words, everybody that know how to praise God, Judah, everybody that know how to worship God, Jerusalem, he said, "And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord," he said, "do not be afraid or be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Whenever the enemy comes in, we got to say, "But God's. It belongs to him. It belongs to God. It does not belong to me. What I'm doing does not, what I'm trying to achieve is not my plan. It's God's plan for me." Amen. And so we have to get a word in times of trouble. We have to get a word in times of affliction. We have to get a word in time of trials and tribulation. We need to seek God for his word. While we are seeking everybody's opinion, while we are trying to recruit help, we need to start seeking God for his word. While we are asking people to come check on us and get mad when they don't, we need to make sure that we're seeking God's word, because his word will not return void. His word is sent to us to prosper us, the thing that he sent it to. And so if God has sent his word to prosper us, if God has sent his word to heal us, if God's word worked for Jesus, I wish I had somebody. If it worked when the enemy came to Jesus and said, "If you're hungry, turn these stones to bread." And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." How much more should we seek the word of God? If the enemy tells Jesus that if you go up here and I take you up here and you worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms, when Jesus said that you can't worship nobody but the real God, I wish I had somebody. We need to be on our business about seeking God and worshiping God. The Bible said, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I wish I had somebody here. I want somebody to understand that you must seek God, and when you seek God, you seek him by seeking his word. We can all day long talk about what we believe in God for. We can believe God for this and that, but if you don't know what his word says about it, then you might as well give it up, because God is not going to do anything beyond his word. He's going to do exactly what his word said. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not return to me void." He said, "Before my word will fail," he said, "I'll cause heaven and earth to fail." I wish I had somebody. The sun won't shine no more. The earth will explode if God's word would fail. I wish I had somebody in here. So we got to seek God's word. I got to seek him for his word. I got to seek him. But not only did he tell him, he said that this battle is not yours. It belongs to God. If we quit taking everything so personal, we'll be able to fight better. If we quit taking it so personal, we will be able to praise better. We'll be able to worship God like we should. We'll be able to come into the house of God and give it all we got. I wish I had some people today that said, "I came to give it all I got. I came to give him what he deserved. I came to give him a praise. I came to give him the worship, because he's worth everything I can offer him. He's worth me lifting up my hands. He's worth me opening up my mouth and saying hallelujah and possibly saying amen sometime during the sermon. I wish you would. He's worth it all. If I would just give him what he deserves, then I would be all right. See, I ain't got time to worry about who gonna do it, because I know if I just praise the Lord, he'll make it work for me. I don't have time to worry about how it's going to get done, because I know if I can just worship God, God will handle my business, because I'm all in his business. I wish I had a few people. Oh, yeah, I don't have to worry about who did it, why they did it, or don't even come tell me what they're plotting up, because I know that it won't work against me, because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Do I have anybody in here that say, "I know no weapon formed against me will prosper, so even though I see it coming my way, oh, it's all right. I'm not going to panic, because God is right there with me. I'm not going to panic, because these things that are coming against me won't prosper." Amen. He said he sought for the word of God, and they got a word. But not only did he tell them, "Don't worry, this battle is not yours," But he gave him some further instructions. And that's why it's important for us to listen up when we come to worship service. Because we got to believe, we have to believe as children of God that this word that is being preached today is a rhema word, is a word that's coming right to you. Amen. That's coming hot off the press from God. That's what we must believe. And so when we believe that and we know that, he gives us further instructions. Look what he said. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Judah, of Jurel. Now, what he says here, he said, tomorrow he go down against them. And I'm telling you, look, for the way it's starting to sound, some of you, if you don't listen all the way through the instruction, you think that he's saying go down there and fight. Because, and that's the problem. We get part of the message and we don't get the full message. I wish I had somebody. We get part of the message and we don't know everything that God is saying, because at some point in the message we start texting. At some point in the message get distracted. At some point in the message, we want to write a note, and we want to go on Facebook, and we want to do all of the other Twitter and Instagram. We do everything else, and we miss some very important details of the message. We must know what God is saying all the way, not some of the way. Amen. And so he said that I want you to go down, because they're going to be in the valley. And down by the wilderness. In other words, they are going to a place called Ziz, that means bloom, a place where the flower blooms. They're going down to a place in the wilderness called Jericho, which means founded by God. They're going to go in a place they don't even know where they are. They're going where God made this place. And if you're going to go to where God made this place, you got to come up against the people of God. You already don't stand a chance, devil. Come on and say amen. And so here it is. He says, I want you to go down against them, but he didn't tell them to throw a blow. He didn't tell them to fight. In verse 17, he said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Look at this. He gave three S's. He says, set yourself. He says, stand still. He says, see the salvation of the Lord with you. Oh, my God. He said, you don't have to fight in this battle. Now, that ought to make somebody excited. Because I thought I was finna have to fight. I thought the Lord was gonna strengthen me and enable me to throw faster than I ever thrown before. I thought the Lord was gonna make me more agile than I was before. I thought that the Lord was gonna give me some weapons that I didn't have before. But he tells me now I don't have to fight. What do you mean, God, I ain't gotta fight? He said, go down. You don't have to fight in this battle. He says, all you need to do is set yourself. See, we gotta get ourselves in the right place. We need to stand still. We need to quit bouncing and doing and just focus on what God wants us to focus on. And we shall see. I want to have vision. I want to be able to see the salvation or the liberty, the freedom that God has given me. And he says, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, for nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, isn't that encouraging? Just to know that God is on your side. Just to know that I don't care what comes against me, the Lord is going to be with me. They may outnumber me 20-1, but I still got God on my side. And so those that are for me are more than those that are against me. In other words, what did he say? He was letting them know what Paul said in Romans 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on your side, everybody else might as well be, because you are a winner. Amen. And so he says, we need to go down here and set ourselves against them. Now, verse 18, he said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Look at this. Now he's into worship. They understood they had to go through a war, but they got a word that led them into worship. And see, we miss it all the time, because nobody had to tell Jehoshaphat, now it's time to play and worship God. When he got a word that was his word, he decided that it's time for me to worship God. He didn't wait for somebody to tell him when to worship. Look at what he did in verse 18. He said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And not only did he do it, but all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they fell before the Lord and worshiping the Lord. They decided, because God has answered our prayer. See, we get our prayers answered all the time, and we think it's a light thing. We don't think it's worthy of worshiping God. The fact that he woke us up this morning, we ought to worship him. Because the way people are going away now, we ought to just be happy, glad to see another day. I wish I had somebody. Jehoshaphat, he decided that I'm going to worship God. Now, you can do what you want to do, but the people said, if Jehoshaphat is going to worship, I'm going to worship too. And all of Jerusalem, all of Judah decided that they were going to worship God. This is how you get the victory. This is how you become an overcomer. This is how you become more than a conqueror, because he loves you. And by the way, he loves the way you worship. He loves when you worship. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory be to God. We have to get to a place where we have to worship God. And when we look at worshiping, when they worship God, their worship was positional. In other words, they said, we're going to bow right here where we are. We're not going to wait till we get back to the house. We're not going to wait till we get to a specific place. We're going to bow because we just heard a word. And whenever you hear a word, you ought to want to worship God. Whenever you hear something that's building you up, something that's encouraging you, something that lets you know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all, that ought to make you want to worship. When you realize that you are the apple of his eye, that ought to make you want to worship. When you realize that he's your shepherd and you shall not want, you ought to want to worship. When you realize that he's the source of your strength, he's the strength of your life, you ought to want to worship. When you realize that I can't make it without the Lord, that ought to make you want to worship. When you realize in your distress, you called on the Lord and he heard you and he delivered you from your fears, that ought to make you want to worship. Preaching better than y'all saying amen. Mm-hmm. That's all right. Amen. I can amen myself. He says that they worshiped. They worshiped positionally. They bowed. But not only that, but it was intentionally. They made sure that God saw them worshiping right there. He right in the open. You know, we worship in our closet, but we come to church and we can't give God praise because of who's here. Because who's watching? Who's on the road with me? I want to look dignified. I want to look right. But I can worship God and still be dignified. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about David, how he danced and how his wife got angry with him. And David told her, I'll be more vile than this. You just wait. I'm going to get down next time. Amen. And sometimes we have to worship God and not worry about who's watching. And not only was it intentional, but it was volitional. They made a choice. They made a choice to worship God. And sometimes you got to make your choice. You can't wait for somebody to tell you to worship. You can't wait for the pastor to say, come on, clap your hands. Come on, say thank you. Come on and lift your hands. Come on and stand on your feet. Come on and say hallelujah. We always got to beg and prime and pump people to praise God. I tell you what, you ain't had to beg him to bless you. He bless you. The Bible said that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. He continues to bless you. He continues to wake you up in the morning. He continues to start you on your way. Come on and say amen. And we don't have to beg him to do that, so we shouldn't have to be begged to worship God. But not only was it volitional, but the worship they had was continual. Because if you read on down in the verse 20, they rose up early in the morning and they continued their worship service. Do I have anybody in here that say, I'm not just a worshiper on Sunday morning, but I'm a worshiper all week long. I wake up in the morning and say thank you. I thank him throughout the day. I get on my knees at night and I thank him. I praise the Lord in my car at the red light. I thank him. I wish I had somebody. Come on. Some of us, we don't even understand what grace is. We think grace is when we say our grace over our food. No, grace is something that is far more than that. Grace is unmerited favor. And so since I got some favor from God, that leads me to want to worship him, because if it had not been for the favor of God, I wouldn't be here today. If it hadn't been for the favor of God, who knows what would be going on in our life. Come on and say amen. Oh, glory be to God. But not only was their worship continual, because you find out that they worship God, and the Levites, they praise God. And then those who were singing, they stood up and they said, we got to give God a praise right here. And they begin to praise God. And the Bible said, not with a little voice, not with a whisper, but they begin to praise him with a loud voice. Do I have any praises in here? Anybody that say, I can open up my mouth? Oh, yeah, you know, they call you big mouth all your life, big mouth Sally, but now you in church and you don't want to open up your mouth. If you're at the ball game, we can hear you all the way down. We can hear you over the band. But when you come to church, you're all quiet and everything. But you need to learn how to open up your mouth, turn up the volume, and let the praises ring out and give God some glory. Verse 20 said, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and ye shall be established, and believe his prophets, and ye shall prosper. I came to let somebody know how to get your vision cleared up. You don't have to go and get some cataract surgery. You don't have to have LASIK surgery. You just read 2 Chronicles 20:20. It gives you 20/20 vision. He said, if you can just believe the Lord, and if you can hear what the prophet is saying, I wish you hear me this morning. He said that you'll be able to be established and you shall prosper. Anybody want to prosper today? I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed to say I want to prosper. I'm not ashamed to say I want my children to prosper. And so whatever I got to do, all he said is I got to believe God and I got to hear what the word of God coming from the mouth of the prophet, and I'm going to be all right. Do I have anybody in here today that say, I know it's going to be all right because I heard a word from a prophet, a man of God, and he said it's going to be all right. Oh, come on and give God some glory here. But not only is their worship, was it continual, because it went from one day to the next. They worshiped God on the next morning. But guess what? Their worship was effectual, because when we start to look down at what happened, if you look at what happened in the word, let's look at down about verse number 23. It says, and for the children of Ammon and Moab, they stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them, and they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, and everyone helped to destroy another. Look at what happened here. After he had consulted the people, after he told them that all you got to do is say that the Lord is good and his mercy endured forever, when they learn how to praise God, when they follow the instructions, you find out that God set up ambushments, and not only were they worshipers, but now they were winners. I wish I had somebody. Oh yeah, it was so effective. Their worship was so effective that it begins to affect the enemy. It begins to discombobulate the enemy and cause them to have confusion. While they trying to cause confusion in your house, they got confusion in their house. While they're trying to tear you down, they start to tear each other. I wish I had a few people here. While they're trying to destroy you, they destroy one another. Oh, come on and say amen here. But when we look at what happened and you look at verse 24 through 26, you find out that not only did they worship, but they won the battle and they didn't have to throw a lick. They won the battle and they didn't have to throw a punch. They didn't have to pull out a sword. They didn't have to fight with physical weapons. Oh, come on and say amen here. But the Bible said the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I'm not looking to do this carnally. I'm looking to do this spiritually. And so I'm just going to worship the Lord while I have a chance. I'm going to trust in the Lord and lean not to my own understanding. Oh, come on and shout amen in here. They won by their worship. So there is a warfare that we must fight. But I'm not going to fight it like you think I'm going to fight. But I'm going to go to church on you, Joker. I'm going to go to church and praise the Lord. I'm going to give God thanks. I wish I had somebody in here. And the Bible said, in all things give him thanks. I'm going to thank the Lord for you because you ain't nothing but the devil. I'm going to praise God that he going to save you and save your children too. I wish I had somebody up in the house that say, I know some people I need to be praising God for because they just bring hell to my life. But I'm not going to fight fire with fire. I'm going to fight with worship. I'm not going to talk about them because they talked about me. I'm just going to talk about the Lord. When they say, oh, you go to, and I'm going to say hallelujah. Oh, come on and praise, amen, and give God some glory in here. He said when they came toward the watchtower, when they got to a place where they can see good, he said they found all the dead bodies. And not only did they find the dead bodies, but the Bible said they found the blessings. In other words, they've gotten a place place where God could bless them. They didn't have to fight, but they still got blessed. Do you know that sometimes God will use the enemy to set you up to be blessed? You see, it's some stuff they didn't have in Judah, but God says, since they got it everywhere else, I'm going to make the enemy come to your land. I'm going to make him come on your turf, but I'm going to let him die there. And when he died there, you can have what he got. Oh, come on and shout amen in here. Do you know it's some stuff that God wants to bless you with, but you can't get it unless the enemy bring it to you? But we crying about the enemy. We're crying about because we see them trying to take us out. We're crying because they're trying to come and take what we got. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. The Bible said the enemy of the Lord come one way, but he's going to flee seven. I wish I had somebody. We need to know that one can put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. Do I have any war warriors in here? Will you war with me this morning? Will you go with me into worship? Because that's how we're going to get blessed. That's how we're going to go to the valley called Barak. That means the valley of blessings. But not only were they blessed in the valley, not only did they were they able to take up a whole heap of stuff, but the Bible said that they stopped for a minute and they said, let us bless the Lord. Do I have anybody here that said, I want to keep having church because I know that my enemy came in, but God lifted up his hand and he destroyed my enemy. And since my enemy is destroyed, I feel even more blessed. Oh, you're talking about blessed now. Wait till after this war is over, you're going to see me even more blessed. Do I have anybody in the house that say, I've been in a battle, preacher, and you don't even know how this word is blessing me? I've been through a fight, preacher, and I'm so encouraged today to know that if I can just worship God in warfare, that I'm going to be more blessed than I was before. I'm going to be more blessed before they came across the line. I'm going to be more blessed before they lied on me. I'm going to be even more blessed before they talked about me.